I'm probably last one standing should pray for me. Lord, I ask that you be with us today, that you speak to all of us here concerning our lives, and for anyone here who particularly needs to hear this message, I pray that you would give them ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever done that read through the Bible in a year thing? Anybody here? A few of you have done that. I expect that you could die in Leviticus. I've got a prayer, a scripture today, and I want you to get your boat and follow along, because I'm not going to make you read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and 5 to 8, and this is the way the first nine chapters of Chronicles is. This will put you to sleep at night if you have trouble. I should have used it last night. Now, just listen, this is just genealogy. Nobody cares about these people except their mothers. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Reah, the son of Shobal, was the father of Jahath. And Jahath was the father of Ahumai and Lahad. These were the families of the Zorathites. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nara. Nara bore him Ahuzam, Hefer, and Temeni. And these were the sons of Nara. The sons of Hela, Zereth, Izhar, and Ethnan. Koz was the father of Anub, Zobibah, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. There are nine chapters like this. Just so you know. Now, when you're reading scripture like that, if it doesn't put you to sleep, it sure can put you into a humdrum kind of thing. It's really kind of ho-hum reading, and you just kind of go over it, and you miss things at times. And we miss them because we get lulled into a stupor and a sameness of things. And it happens in scriptures like it can in our lives as well. And the mention of Jabez, as coming up in this next scripture, and his prayer is a point of significance in the middle of this scripture of all these names and genealogies and everything. And it's what I call a spiritual speed bump, because in the reading of all this, suddenly there's this, and it's a little bit different than everything else. Then you go on. Now, you notice in the first scriptures, and this goes on for nine chapters, fathers are mentioned. So-and-so is the father of so-and-so. But here in 1 Chronicles 9 and 10, which I want us to read together here in a minute, Jabez appears without mention of his father. This tells us that Jabez's father was a dishonorable man. We don't know what Jabez's father did or what kind of a bum he was, but the fact that his name is left out tells us that Jabez's father was not a good man. Let's read verse 9, just verse 9 first here. Okay, here we go. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." His name means pain. I want to ask for hands. Anybody here have your mother said, "God, you're a pain"? Well, she named him that. And from this one verse, we can kind of put together a picture of this family. Jabez's father had caused misfortune and loss and disgrace and dishonor to come upon his family. Not only that, but this man had also been a model for his other sons, and they also had gone bad in the same way, and they followed in their father's footsteps. Now let's read verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, so that it might not hurt me." And God granted what he asked. And from this verse, we know that Jabez does not follow in his father's footsteps or follow in the ways of his brothers. Jabez is the one in the family that distinguishes himself. He was a tribal leader, by the way, not by some self-made honor, but because God chooses to honor the heart and then the lifestyle of Jabez. And there is a picture in this man, his family problems, his circumstances of birth, the distress and difficulty of early life that a lot of people today can identify with. And I dare say that there are people sitting here who can identify with this. He grew up in a family that was destroyed by a man gone bad. How many of us have grown up in bad situations? You know, there are all kinds of groups and programs today wrapped around the adult children of alcoholics, drug users, child abusers, spouse abusers. And so people are involved in all these kinds of recovery programs. There's the 12-step programs, support programs. They're all filled with people who are kind of like Jabez, at least in terms of the situational problems of family environment. Bad family environment. Now, I want to talk to you a little, just for a couple of seconds, about these programs that are all out there that maybe some of you are involved in. I really believe in these programs, especially the 12-step program. But there's a couple things about them that I've noticed about people over the years. Sometimes in these programs, they blame all their problems on one or both of their parents, and they never take responsibility for their own actions. That's a concern of mine. We need to take responsibility for our own lives instead of blaming our behavior on somebody else and quit making excuses for ourselves. That's one of the things that I think that is a concern. The second thing that concerns me about some of these programs is that they only go so far. They work on a human level more than on any kind of a vertical level. And if a person stays only on the human level, they're never going to be able to trade one dependency for another one that has to do with that program. And while the program may be a means to get from where the state of addiction or difficulty, despair to another place, there's still a tendency to rely on the program for health. And there needs to come a time when the strength of your life is no longer related to the program, but is related to your relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that only comes about through a pathway of prayer. And this prayer of Jabez is an expression of that kind of prayer. As we look at Jabez's prayer, the very first thing that we all need to realize is that all the problems we face in this life, detrimental situations, sick environments, debilitating circumstances, do not have human answers. We can improve some things. We can practice self-discipline, but we can't save our own soul. The cross of Jesus Christ does that. Some of the things that harass, torment, oppress, pinch, dispossess us, we can ultimately only be dealt with by the power of God and the grace of our living Lord, who is Jesus, through the work of the Spirit. And so we come to a prayer of a man whose life situation was bad. A man whose name even means pain or sorrow. So I want to look at the prayer. He prays to the Lord and says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border." Do you pray this? Do you need to pray this? Lord, bless me and enlarge my borders. Jesus prays for the boundaries of his life circumstance, his kingdom, to be blessed and enlarged. Now, we all have kingdoms. I've been talking about this for a year now. You might say, If you look at your job, your family, your house, your possessions, all that we are in charge of, or responsible for, or involved in, that is your kingdom on this world. Some of our kingdoms are in great disarray, you might say. Some of our kingdoms, our lives, are in disgrace in certain areas. Some of our kingdoms are shrinking because of outside forces destroying parts of our lives. Some of our kingdoms are falling apart from internal struggles and sin. We all have kingdoms. It is the kingdom of our lives that we have. And the reason Jabez is praying this prayer is because the family inheritance was lost through some disaster in the family, probably related to his father because of irresponsibility and the impact of sin. There was also shame upon Jabez's house. Family honor, family inheritance had been lost, and shame was upon the family name. And Jabez's name was even a reflection of that loss and that shame. The word Jabez actually means pain. He prays, "Lord, bless me and enlarge my border." And then he prays that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not hurt me. And if you look at these, there's three things that he prays for in this prayer: that the Lord would bless him, that the Lord would enlarge his border, the territory of his life, and third, keep him from evil and harm. He'd had enough of that kind of pain in his life already. So I want to look at these three requests in this prayer for our own prayer life, especially if we can identify with some of the pain in the life of Jabez. First, Lord, bless me. Well, this isn't asking for a $1 million home or a solid gold Cadillac or winning the lottery. The Lord's blessing is not that kind of superficial blessing. When we talk about blessing, we're talking mainly about two things: provisions for this life and fulfillment of our destiny and our purpose. Provisions for life has to do with providing the things that we need. Fulfillment is things that have to do with hope and faith in terms of where your heart is and your heart's desires and what you were created for. It may not have happened yet, but there's a movement towards that kind of thing, and a sense of movement towards some kind of fulfillment. Now, there are things that are promised in the Word of God for all of us. And there are also things that are promised to us individually and are waiting to be realized in our lives. And in this prayer, we're talking about things that are related to you and your life. Lord, bless me and enlarge my borders. There are things that the Lord has spoken to you in your heart. And this is something that he is going to unlock in your future. And you may be wondering, well, God, so what's the big deal here? Sometimes it's just a matter of time. And sometimes time goes by and you start to doubt it. And you do, the promise that you believe God is talking to you about. And then we begin to walk in despair. And this is the time of this prayer. Lord, bless me in terms of the things on my heart, my dreams, my hopes, my aspirations. The prayer for many of us begins with, just bless me, Lord, in terms of providing for me in this life and bringing me to fulfillment in terms of your purpose and destiny for my life. Now, it says in this scripture that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. In other words, he was a man of God. He did what was right to people, and he followed the Lord's leading in terms of his life. So when he prayed, Lord, bless me, the Lord blessed him not only because of the prayer, but because of the way that he conducted his life. Along with the prayer is an obedient life. God has promised justice to us all, and that justice will be victorious in the end. Justice has to do with God's intention for your life or my life. It has to do with what is promised to us and that is setting right of the order of our lives. The Lord brings things into proper order. He not only does this in terms of salvation of our souls on the cross, but he also does it in terms of the issues of our life. He brings forth justice. This prayer is answered for Jabez for two reasons. He prayed the prayer. He lived an obedient life. Now, the Lord may not work these things overnight, necessarily. A lot of times we're dealing in terms of broken lives, and that's a real struggle. If we're sitting around our campfires and we talk about our lives and the things that have happened to us, I guarantee you there are enough broken lives in here that we could start our own program right here. There's no victory without struggle, folks, and it takes time. Sometimes blessings doesn't come right away. And there are three words that help me to understand the unfolding of God's blessing in our lives and its timing. They are the words growth, birth, and change. Growth takes time. Some of the things that have to do with blessing in your life will not come about until there comes further growth in you. It's not a matter of earning the blessing. It's a matter of saying you can't have the blessing until you are capable of handling it. We don't let kids drive until they're 16. It's a matter of growth and capability and the order of the society. It's not a matter of punishing people before they are 16. It's a matter of growth, maturity, capability, and the fact that in our society, we have determined that people shouldn't drive before they're 16. It's a simple illustration. It's in the divine order of things. There's a certain amount of growth necessary to take place in us before certain blessings can be given. Spiritually speaking, we may not be mature enough to handle something. And that takes time. Second word is birth. Birth never happens without struggle, travail, discomfort. Ladies, you know. You have to be pregnant first, and growth and stretching takes place, then the struggle of birth. But a woman doesn't produce a baby at birth. The baby has been present for a long time, and in the order of the process, there comes the issue of birth at the right time, the opportune time, that special time. Blessing occurs at the appointed time in physical birth and also in spiritual birth as well. There's an appointed time for some things to come into being. The third word is change. Change goes along with blessing as well. Life is full of change. We don't necessarily like it, do we? A lot of times we fight against change, especially if it has to do with how we think. We know we need to change, but we don't really want to do it because it's a struggle to change the way things are. Changes in our lives are both external and internal. The external change is a transition from one state of being to another. Externally, the internal change that takes place is transformational. Transition is moving from one place to another. Transformation is the change of the internal structure of things. You know, marriage is a change from single status. Now, it may require external transition from one place to another, usually in terms of where you live and all that kind of thing, but it's also very transformational in terms of the way a person thinks. You go from thinking like a single person to thinking like a married person. The same is true when children are born into marriage or when kids grow up and they move away. Change occurs, and there is transition of lifestyle, and that happens outwardly. But inside, there's also a transformation that needs to take place internally in terms of how we see the world. Blessing involves change that is transformational and transitional in nature. Jabez also prays that the Lord would enlarge his border. In other words, his life, his personal kingdom. We're dealing with two things there, and that has to do with expansion and recovery. Jabez wants to recover that which has been lost and then expand beyond that. Now, think about the aspects of this prayer in terms of yourself. What do you want to be enlarged in your life? What is it that needs to be recovered in your life? There are things in many of our lives that pinch us or restrict us or hinder us, and we need an enlargement, a space, extended boundary. You know, there are some times when I'm just getting crowded in by things, and I just need a little bit of space here. It can be in almost any area of our lives, your job, your finances, your growing up and needing to leave the restrictions of your parents. Enlargement of your life. A few years ago when we were over at Woodland Chapel, let me tell you something, we were crowded. We went from two services to three services, and they were going to kill me. We had two Sunday school classes meeting in my house, and my wife, Berta, would make me clean the house every Saturday night, and that was getting old fast. We were restricted as a church at Woodland. This is a prayer I began to say for that church. It was a selfish prayer. Bless us, Lord, and enlarge our borders. Bless us and enlarge our building. Bless us and enlarge our ministry, which was already happening, but we were restricted, we were pinched, we were hindered by our building size, and I had to clean the house. The other aspect of enlarging our borders, our lives, our kingdom, is when things have been lost, or stolen, or taken from us, or destroyed. There can also be parts of our lives that have been weakened or diminished through our own neglect. Sometimes the reason we have been restricted or pinched or hindered is through our own lack of attention in the business of life. So when we pray this prayer, a matter of obedience may be part we have to play for the blessing to really flow and for the enlargement of our lives to really return. The third aspect of Jabez's prayer has to do with keeping us from evil and the pain that comes from evil in our lives. In other words, Jabez's prayer, defend me, Lord, against evil coming at me from the world around me, and also expel any tendency in me or anything that is a residue in me from my past life, my family history, that would be evil in me. And it is a prayer against anything that would inhibit God's purpose in your life or that would be harmful to you or those in your life. So Jabez wants to be kept from evil and harm and not to be the cause of evil or harm to others or himself. One of the things that he's probably is praying and which many of us may need to pray is this, Lord, keep me from repeating past sin or past patterns of suffering. Don't let it come down to me from my ancestors or my parents. There are things that we have a tendency to do and to be, and they come down through our family lines because it is part of the pattern of our family. It might be our father or our mother or maybe both, but we repeat our own sins and we repeat a pattern of sin in our ancestral families. There are things that one or both of our parents may do that we have a tendency to do, and we know that it will damn us or confuse us or compromise us. And Jabez is praying for a break from his heritage in terms of the curse that is upon his household. Now, as you look at this prayer of Jabez in our own lives, there are sufficient points here for most of us to pray this prayer with honesty and need. You don't have to find something under each point in the prayer either. The purpose of this message is to help you recognize the call to personal prayer and certain aspects of your own life. When it comes to the Lord working in our lives, we need to recognize that it isn't always in books or sermons or even 12-step programs that we find the answers to our problems or our past or our losses or our shame. We may need to pray and be obedient in following where the Lord Jesus leads us. This is a good prayer to pray a couple times during the week, maybe every week. It's a prayer in which you come to the Lord with your life in terms of blessing, in terms of enlargement of your borders, your life, your kingdoms, and in terms of protection from evil and harm, whether it comes from the world around you or if it comes from within you. You can talk to Jesus about things that he sees in you and he wants to deal with. Some things in our lives keep reoccurring in terms of our prayer life. But I want you to know life moves on like a river and we aren't necessarily living at the same place that it occurred before. Prayer is recognizing, refocusing on our own personal growth, the changes that are happening in our lives, and even the birth of new things. Bible says, let a man examine himself. And the purpose of that is not looking for condemnation, but to see where you are and learning to bring to the Lord the things where you want blessing to happen, where you want enlargement, or where you need his defense from evil and harm. Blessing, enlargement, defense. You don't have to pray this prayer today. Tomorrow it all happens. It won't happen that quickly anyway. You may pray this prayer today, and you may do it every week. And start in April, you may see something in December, or maybe in 2017. But you keep the matter, you keep the circumstance, you keep the job, the situation, the relationship, your life before the Lord in prayer, and you walk with him in that prayer. I want us to close with the prayer that's printed. And let's just pray it. And you can take it home with you. And you can start praying it every day if you want. Let's pray together. Here we go. Oh, that you would bless me, Lord, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not hurt me. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.